Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is, of course, the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and get to know our guest. This is episode 80. Oh, excuse me. No, we are not that far. This is episode 58. 58. We are not up to 80 yet.
I can't believe you speed run your own podcast. That's incredible.
If only we were up to 80, I'd feel much more accomplished. Now, this is episode 58 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is Friday, August 9th. Not joining me for this episode is Moose. Unfortunately, I think he might be sick or something. I feel bad. He's got maybe tummy issues again. Poor guy. Anyways, so this is going to be perhaps a pretty weird show. First of all, the news is really wild. We'll be talking about Evo because we can't skip that. But then there's some Mixer news we need to talk about. And we'll be visiting the wild ups and downs from the latest Ooblets announcements. But, of course, we've got to get our guests settled in. You heard him a little bit there because I did a blunder. he was here last week. He was a really good guest, and he's here again, unprecedented, two times in a row, never happened before. Please welcome Corgan.
Well, first, I'm honored. I didn't know that I was a first in being a back-to-back, but yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I can't keep count of most things. So, yeah, you're the first.
I'm the first that we're aware of as of this moment.
Correct.
But yeah, I'm Corgan. I represent Doghouse Esports, which is an esports production company that uses its platform to raise money primarily for animals in need. 100% of all donations go to the charities we raise money for, and 50% of all of our profits from our store go to the charities we raise money for. And each charity we raise money for, we verified to responsibly use the funds we raise for them. So yeah, Doghouse is awesome. I love it. And yeah.
Thank you once again for letting me know what Doghouse is, because I never want to stop hearing about it.
I thought you were going to say, because I forgot.
No. Words I don't forget. Numbers can fuck off. okay, so we are here. It is, as I said, a crazy, 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 crazy news week.
Yeah.
But we should, of course, get started with Evo. So Evo, as everyone knows, is the biggest fighting game tournament of the year. Evo 2019 happened from August, 2nd to 4th, I believe. I didn't watch all of it. Also, numbers fuck off.
I'm glad that there's a consistent theme so far.
So Evo has just about wrapped up, and we're still talking about some of the big reveals, the big moments, and everything else been in between. Luckily, we have Corgi in here to talk about the actual gameplay parts, because Corgi knows fighting games, and I'm kind of iffy on them. I know how to kick. Also, Corgi last week told us that there was some Unist news on the way, and it looks like he was right. So what happened at Evo?
All right, so first of all, many things happened at Evo. Evo was kind of insane this year. It was an international phenomenon, the likes of which we haven't seen previously. So for example, let's talk about my game first, because I'm biased. Undernight. Undernight actually has a huge history at Evo, being a side game for many years in a row. Last year being, I believe, the largest side game that Evo ever had, eventually leading to it becoming a main game. And what we got out of that main game is absolutely insane. First of all, the top two United States players did not make it into top eight. A Canadian, Rakir, made it into top eight, and he was being the only non-Japanese player making it into the top eight of Undernight, with the other seven being Japanese players who had never come to the States before. This was the single largest turnout of Japanese players for Undernight that the game has ever seen, which was incredible for the scene. So much of the so that our previously, while I love him, pessimistic current top Wagner, Redblade, actually got to rethink his ideas about the game, because for a while there, he was in a bit of a slump and saying that the game all comes down to simple interactions and this and that. And then Japan showed him, oh, no, it doesn't. Oh, no, it doesn't. So that was incredible. We had two Mikas in top eight. We had an Enkidu in top eight, both of which considered two of the lowest tier characters in the game.
That always makes me so happy. Oh my God, I love that.
It was incredible. Some other amazing things happened. We got to see some amazing play from the Smash Brothers side of things. MKLeo versus Tweak being one of the most explosive sets in Smash Brothers history, and definitely a grand finals that is going to be remembered for many, many years. Definitely a showcase of many Evo moments. But if we're going to talk about one Evo moment, that would be coming from Tekken. And Tekken Evo had a very, very interesting... you probably saw the picture, because the picture was one of the incredible pieces of esports photography we've ever seen, was from the Pakistani Tekken player Arslan Ash, who has become the best Tekken player in the world from nowhere. He legitimately, people didn't know him. And he blew everyone away, because he came here on an e-fight pass, which is a project to get people from other fighting game scene out to major tournaments.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And
I haven't heard about that.
So he came from Pakistan and showed up and won. Like,
right.
This isn't just like he got to show off what Pakistan could do. No, he won.
And as far as I remember and am reading, he defeated everyone who faced him.
Yeah. Like, he also, if I remember correctly, he won both Evo Japan and Evo Vegas in the same year. Like, that's insane. Yeah. This guy was the story of Evo. He is the definition of good ass Tekken. And like, legitimately, the scene is known for when there's a good ass Tekken, you know it's good ass Tekken. And this man,
right,
Arslan Ash, if I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, is good ass Tekken, the embodiment of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think I've ever heard of a player being this good out of a country like Pakistan, who's I don't think known for having many competitive players on the stage.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, getting to Evo at least.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of increase of Middle East players starting to really become dominant in a lot of fighting game scenes, like in the NRS scene. For example, for Mortal Kombat this year, oh my God, the Mortal Kombat bracket was good. Oh my God.
Yeah, I heard about that. Sonic Fox.
The thing is, Sonic Fox is always great. I'm a huge fan of Sonic Fox. I always have been.
Yeah, so am I.
But we got some incredible players. The NRS scene is the best it's ever been, and that's saying something, because the NRS scene is normally one of my favorite scenes to watch. But we had Tweety in top eight, we had Dragon and Sonic Fox. Like, everyone loves talking about Sonic Fox and Goichi in what's it called in Dragon Ball FighterZ, which is great, and we got to see that again. But Dragon and Sonic Fox is up there, I feel, and just not enough people follow it as closely. And they're incredible to watch, and they're always training with each other, and to see them in grand finals was just spectacular. Well, Evo is not a perfect tournament. What I love is the tournaments that we get out of Evo. Everyone has their issues with Evo as a tournament. As we see the fighting game community push further and further towards like distilled esports, when we get to see these amazing fighting game moments that brought the fighting game scene together happening live, it unites the fighting game community as a whole, and it's just wow. I could go on about everything, but I don't know how much time we actually have for this block. So let me go on and talk about some of the reveals that we got. First, let me go and talk about the reveal for Undernight, because yay.
Yes. So to back you up on your excitement, since the last time you were on last week, I have been contemplating playing Eunice because you made it sound a little bit better than like my other friends who play it. Like, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but you made it sound really good. And so I've been like, okay, like, you know, maybe during my next paycheck, I'll get it. I was expecting the rumors to be true, but I wasn't expecting it to be true for Nintendo Switch and for like all the other consoles it's coming out on. So now I'm kind of conflicted about which console to buy it on, but like, go ahead.
Okay. So I mentioned this during the last podcast that we did, which was, I mentioned that there's a good chance that Uniclear is going to be revealed at Evo. And it's also going to be available for Nintendo Switch based on the Taiwanese leak. And it turned out to be right. So, and it wasn't even a real leak. It was just copyright that we found. But anyway, with that said, what we got was far more than we expected. So,
yeah.
Uniclear is revealed to be a brand new game. It's not just like an update or something. It's a brand new game. It's an improved version of the game. And that means a lot, because if you don't know the history of Undernight, Undernight in Birth was originally released as an arcade game. It sucked. Like, it was not great, but it had good concepts, because it was Melty Blood 2, so people were excited for it.
Yeah. I was going to say it was a lot like Melty Blood in that it wasn't the greatest, but it was there and it was trying to do something good, and it fell a little short of doing that something good.
We didn't get to experience Undernight in Birth, but what we did experience was the next release, which was Undernight in Birth EXE Late. And this game fixed a lot of the issues, making it actually a pretty good game. Like, it was a silver release. Like, in terms of fighting games, it was a pretty dang good game, but there was some busted ass stuff in there. There was an infinite for Waldstein. There was Corto and Merkava existing. It was awful, but it was still a good game. And then Eunice was released, and it balanced everything and introduced new characters and did a whole bunch of shit. And then Uniclear is now being announced, and it's looking to do more, which is, we essentially got a bronze, silver, gold, and now a platinum release of Undernight. And that's a huge deal considering how well balanced this game is. And it's coming with new moves or characters, new mechanics, which is already mind-blowing because it's a college course learning the game in itself. We've been revealed one new character so far, which is Landrekia, or Landrekia. I don't know how to pronounce it yet. Who is the antithesis of Wagner, which is great because everyone hates Wagner. And
yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, and it's being released in early 2020. Huge news.
Yeah, so Eunice, as it were, came out, what, like a year or two ago?
About two.
At least in the West.
Yeah, in the West, it came out around two, a little bit more than that, years ago. And then sometime early last year, we got PC Eunice, which really made the game explode. But the game's been around for a little while. So to be getting a new game, especially considering Eunice is so new to so many people, this is going to do wonders to the community, especially being announced at Evo. So right. Eunice definitely had one of the biggest announcements of the entire tournament, but there are also some good announcements for some other games. Tekken got announced the swaggiest character of all time. There is
Leroy
Smith. That man is the epitome of what I like a character to be in fighting games.
Yes.
The old master of
New York.
Yeah, like
where I'm from.
He is so tight. And it's literally, it's so funny because Harada was talking about the release and he said, when we originally came up with the concept for Leroy, I actually thought he was pretty plain. So I wanted to make him cooler. And I didn't know if I had the authority to do so. I didn't know if I knew how to make a character that was, and I'm going to put it in an American term, drenched with drip as like as he is. And Harada was like, and I'm so glad that he turned out the way I wanted.
Yeah, so I think all I want to say about that is Tekken 7 has somehow wanted me to, or you know, given me the drive to want to buy this game all of a sudden.
Yeah.
If there's anything that I love to see, especially in mostly Eastern-based kind of or Eastern-type releases where it's made by Japanese or some place in the East, is seeing a well-done black character.
Yeah.
And Leroy, especially like his little backstory there, is very typical, but in a good way. If I can put it that way, he's got like the dreads.
Yeah.
And he's from New York and he's coming back from a, you know, revenge from a gang war 50 years ago. And it's like, okay, no, I feel all of that. I understand with that. I resonate and I want to play him.
Yeah. And not only that, he's not the only good black representation that we got announced in a fighting game. Mm-hmm. But let me finish up on Tekken real quick, because they also got announced that Zafina will be returning, which is also an amazing mm-hmm. thing. Who is not joining Tekken is Solid Snake.
Yeah, that's weird.
Which
that was weird.
Yeah, there was that. Remember when I said Evo is not a perfect tournament? The staff at Evo decided, we're not sure who exactly it was that made this decision, but I will say on their behalf, it was a bad one. They decided to steal David Hayter's voice and have him say good-ass Tekken and make it seem like there was going to be a announcement for Metal Gear DLC for Tekken.
Right.
It was only shown in the venue, so there was conflicting reports on whether it actually happened or not, because people at home couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. And they were treading on Konami territory, and if you know anything about Konami, don't ever go near Konami.
They only deal in pachinko machines.
And pain. They are good at two yeah. things, which is pachinko and torture. And
pachinko is torture.
That is
2020.
Pachinko is torture 2020. But yeah, it was very not tasteful, and
yeah,
it
did not go over well. At
yeah,
all.
Definitely not Evo moment material. But we also, in regards to tasteful black character, got announced something absolutely incredible, which is a new Guilty Gear.
That's right. And it looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's really pretty. Now, I'm saying this as someone who I've tried Guilty Gear. It was not for me. It was too much. And I wanted to play it. I really wanted to play it. But as someone who goes to anime tournaments, Guilty Gear is one of the tightest fucking games to watch.
It is, yeah, definitely.
It is so cool. Everything that's happening is just eye candy. And the characters are so well designed. It's so fun and bubbly and got this really unique look that's just you don't get from any other fighting game. And they decide for the new Guilty Gear that's coming out in 2020 to say, hey, you know all that stuff you love about Guilty Gear? What if we, like, push that shit to, like, the absolute next level? And they did. This looked so good. If you, I'm picking it up because I'm hoping that they found the issues that people had with, all right, here's a name. Guilty Gear Xrd 2 Revelator. Or Revelator 2 or Revelator 2 Plus. I can never tell because Guilty Gear is a wonderful victim of Guilty Gear.
The weird anime names.
Yes. Arxis naming schemes is just wonderful. But with that, it looks incredible. I would definitely recommend watching the trailer and seeing what anime fighting games is all about. Because this
is it. Especially with that dreadlock character with the helmet.
Yeah.
He's cool. I want to cosplay him someday.
We got so many cool reveals. Like, just watch the trailer. It is so much to cover because they really got, like, this is coming from a game that we haven't seen a new real game in the series for in a long time. 2014 was the last time. It was 5 years ago. And they got Xrd with that, which then they got Revelator, then they got Revelator 2nd. They also got Revelator Sign and Revelator and Xrd Complete. And it was just, Guilty Gear went through a lot. But they're finally getting a game. I'm happy for them. And that wasn't the end of the announcements. Dragon Ball FighterZ got Janemba, which means that's another character that we're going to see probably at the next Evo. Just like we got to see Bardock and we got to see Kid Goku and we got to see a lot of Dragon Ball is fun. It is a fun game.
It is a very fun fighter. Yeah.
BB Tag got announced something that the world was never ready for, which was Blitz Tank's revival.
That looks disgusting.
Blitz Tank, Blitz Tank being from the same game that Akatsuki's from. Which is Blitzkampf. How do I pronounce this? Blitzkampf. There we go.
Yeah.
It is Akatsuki Blitzkampf. And it's, And so that's another thing for BB Tag. So Eunice gets its favorite kickmonger guest character as a guest character in BB Tag. So shoutouts to Akatsuki for double appearing as a guest character for not only Eunice, but also a game where Eunice is a guest character.
Mm-hmm.
Great. BB Tag's weird, but I love it. Smash got nothing. Haha.
Well, to be fair,
they got
Nintendo works on their own stuff in their own timeline. So they're like, Evo, no. We're just going to do a Nintendo Direct and get like 30 million views anyway. So
exactly.
Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, and I find it really funny when, because I do follow Smash. I have to for work. But Smash is a really fun game to watch, but the community is all over the place. And sometimes it can be a bit much, especially when it comes to reveals. They need their reveals. So even though they already have a character that's announced and waiting for them in Banjo-Kazooie, which is an insane reveal, by the way, they still wanted more at Evo and they didn't get it, which haha. But I do sympathize because all these games are getting these awesome reveals. Street Fighter had their reveal leaked ahead of time, which was a shame because it is such a cool reveal with Poison, E-Honda, and Lucia from Final Fight, which we talked about last week. It actually got leaked in the middle of the last weekly cooldown.
Yeah.
And there were quite a few announcements, but that's basically the gist of the big ones that you should be looking out for.
Yeah. The what to be excited for? That.
Yeah.
All that.
Evo is the fighting, is the E3 for fighting games.
Yeah, basically.
It's a really big deal, and I'm always happy whenever it comes around. And yeah, it was a spectacular year. And we also got a fun announcement every 5 minutes during Evo that Skullgirls for Switch is still happening sometime. We don't really in the know. Future. Yeah. But we were very much reminded of that, which I'm down for. Lab Zero can release Skullgirls on my phone. They can release it on my PS4, my PS3, on anything that they want. I will play it. Because Skullgirls is just play Skullgirls, please. It's so good.
That's the second time someone said this on this show.
Wait, have you had Purple Sharpie on the show before?
I have.
Yep.
She's wonderful. I love her so much.
I adore Purple Sharpie so much. I hope she's listening to this because play Skullgirls. Definitely do.
Check out that episode if you haven't heard Purple Sharpie on. She's told this wonderful, wonderful story about why she got into fighting games and why she loves Skullgirls so much. And it was the most touching story I've ever heard about fighting games in my life. And it made me need to go practice fighting games immediately, which I did.
And that's the thing about fighting games. They're such a tight knit community of games, and it's just so spectacular when you get to share that with others. And Purple Sharpie is like the definition of someone who just loves their game with their whole heart, and that's why she's a big reason why there's two games that I always plug, and that's Eunice and Skullgirls. I will always plug Undernight, and I'll always plug Skullgirls. Yep. There's always going to be another game that I'll plug for as long as I can, but those two are consistent.
Love your games the way they love you back.
Yeah, no, legitimately, because there's people who put their heart and a soul in these games, and so there's just a lot to say about there being a Skullgirls announcement or advertisements at Evo. If you're at all familiar with the history of Skullgirls and Evo, it is a hard thing to talk about. But to see it there, it kind of felt like a slight, but it was also really nice to see it getting a consistent spotlight there, which I really did appreciate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we do need to move on. Because we still have quite a lot to talk about.
It's been
about
half an hour. All right. So as we move on to our next topic, keep in mind that I guess there's no easy way to say this, but I guess just keep in mind. I'm just really trying to get out how to word this. Keep in mind that I guess we're two dudes remarking on this news. That's the basic way to put it. So, in any case, Ninja switches to Mixer and is still at 1 million subscribers, at the 1 million subscriber mark, rather. Meanwhile, however, we're finding some interesting things, not cool things, about Mixer's clothing guides and their rating-specific clothing guidelines. So for a family-friendly stream, they say that clothing must cover entire visible body from a few inches above the bust line. It cannot be strapless and should show little to no cleavage. For the teen stream, clothing can reveal more than a hint of cleavage, but still covers the entire visible body and cannot be strapless. And for an 18-plus stream, the chest must be covered from the bust line to the end of the rib cage, no, quote, under cleavage. So again, some pretty frustrating and very female...
Gender.
Yeah, gender-specific... guidelines here. So essentially, like, I don't know, if you're a jacked dude and you have cleavage, I guess it's okay. Or is it? Like,
Yeah.
It's very gendered, very specific, very pointed, and the kind of digging up of these guidelines comes at an interesting time when Ninja has been offered God knows how much money to switch from Twitch to Mixer, and I mean it's kind of interesting how it's just. Ben, it doesn't affect him at all. It doesn't affect his bottom line.
No.
And it's just, everyone's just fine with that. And I don't know. I'm really angry about it.
I can't be angry. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Ninja, at the end of the day, is doing what so many of us dream to do, which is to make not just a living, but a thriving existence from playing video mm-hmm. games. And he has been given the world on a silver platter to do so. Ninja himself being a controversial point for several different times in history. But overall, not overtly, I don't want to say... I'm not going to judge the content of his character because I don't watch him closely enough to say what he is. But I will say that Mixer and Ninja are a good match for each other. Because they're both of them having controversies about women in gaming are just a really stellar
track record is what we usually call it.
Yeah, a really nice symmetry there. But that being said, I will give this piece of advice to anyone in the esports industry that does any form of production or anything like that. This is showing a market shift, and as such, pick up your business and username in Mixer now. If you are stuck with a crappy Twitch name because someone has your Twitch handle, Mixer might actually have your handle available. So get it now before anything. So even if Mixer doesn't take off, at least you own it.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's my business piece of advice. And I will say I have nothing... I don't have any negative feelings about Ninja switching over to Mixer.
I don't know that I care.
What I will say is this is massively beneficial for the world of video games and esports as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Because considering both of these companies, Microsoft and Amazon, being primarily an American company... We're seeing them actually having to compete with each other in this space where there really wasn't a competition. There was YouTube gaming, and tell me how many times you've watched video games on YouTube gaming. It's probably not often.
Right.
You don't watch it for many tournaments. You go to Twitch for tournaments for esports and stuff like that. YouTube gaming tried, but they never had the following that Twitch did. And now for Mixer to take the absolute number one streamer on Twitch from right under their feet is going to force Twitch to actually make beneficial changes to the platform.
That's very true.
I want. Will I switch to Mixer? The market's the thing that's going to decide that. Mm-hmm. I have no loyalty to Twitch, if I'm going to be 100% honest, because they've, after they were bought by Amazon, they've made quite a few controversial decisions. Not right. All the decisions were bad. They've definitely made some improvements, but they've never needed to stay relevant because they mm-hmm. were always number one.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see... to see a healthy competition between these two mega giants, that did not taste well to say, but is beneficial to us as a whole. So I definitely think it's something to take in stride. Don't take it personally. And yeah, that's my general feelings on it.
It's also worth pointing out to the market and to the competitive aspect of what you just said, that there are some other little like competitors really trying to get into the field. So there's Caffeine, which is backed by Fox, I believe, which is kind of interesting. And then there's also, as you said, YouTube Gaming, which didn't quite do what it tried to do. But then there's Facebook. Facebook is actually trying to get in on the gaming scene and will often send to, you know, they have their algorithms in place and will kind of bump streaming gamers who are streaming through Facebook onto your newsfeed. I've actually gotten that a couple of times where they're like 6 a.m. There's people Facebook on Facebook gaming doing their streaming. So there are some other options popping up. And I have to wonder, now that Mixer has basically made their move, are other people like Caffeine and Facebook Gaming, and maybe even we'll see YouTube Gaming again, are they going to then reach out to some well-known Twitch streamer and offer them money in order to get onto their networks?
So here's the thing with that. No matter what you end up doing, if you take the largest player of a certain type of game, that type of game will follow.
You can say Battle Royale.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the reason why I'm saying that is after Ninja switched, a lot of Fortnite streamers switched.
That's true, yeah.
We saw a massive movement, but we didn't see that for the fighting game market. We didn't see that for the RTS market. We only saw it for Fortnite, and I don't know if there was a shift for PUBG. I didn't follow it close enough, but I did see it with Fortnite, to the point that when I went to go claim my my titles on Mixer, the entire front page was Fortnite. Right. It was nothing but Fortnite streamers.
Yep.
And if we see that, chances are we'll see not the platforms diversify, but the platform's purposes diversify. So if someone takes, for example, Sonic Fox, and they, not that he gets incredible stream, because people want to watch Smash, so let me use a better example. If MKLeo or Zero, for example, because Zero is always relevant, get bought by one of these companies, we're going to see, chances are, a lot of these streamers make that move. Nairo is an amazing example. If Nairo was to be picked up by one of these platforms, we would see a lot of Smashers move from their from Twitch to whatever platform it became.
Right.
And it's crazy because you're essentially dealing with a completely new market. It's blue water.
Right.
And you want to be swimming in blue water. If you've heard me give lessons about like how to start streaming, what you need to do to become a prominent streamer of a fighting game or something like that, or a popular game, what needs to be done, you'll hear that I often say streaming Smash is not something that you're going to likely find success in. You're competing with people who have been building their platform for decades at this point, and not just building their platform for decades, but having the kind of draw in where they can stream at the same time as a major and get more viewers.
Right.
You're dealing with like huge followings, and to be able to find your niche, I hate that word.
I do too.
But in the world of Smash, it is extremely difficult.
Definitely,
it's So if you got the opportunity because one of these big streamers got taken over to the other platform to either boost your viewership on Twitch because now they're gone, or join them on that platform where there's a whole bunch of new viewers coming in, you're going to find success. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So, and I guess it's not the same as like if a video game was exclusive. If a Twitch or Mixer streamer is exclusive to those platforms, you can, you know, you have the choice to go to one or the other. I guess the choice comes in when it comes to subscribing to those streamers, like what perks you get, and Twitch has, I think, the upper leg on that. But I do think that
for now,
yeah, right. But I do think that as far as like going to watch a streamer goes, you can have your cake and eat it too.
Yes. And the thing is, Mixer has a lot of the same things that we see on Twitch that really draws people to Twitch. Mm-hmm. They have the emotes, they have the sub badges, they have the like exclusive benefits in chat and things like that. There's a lot that they have the same, so it's not going to be that foreign. So that in itself, because it's not really a unique thing that can be exclusive to Twitch. And that's the thing about the esports market, is when you're someone who's not making games but doing any form of production for them, there's no way that you can stay unique for long.
Sure.
People can replicate whatever you're doing. It's just coding. And if you can figure out how to do it, you can do it on your platform too. Because you can't really say, I'm going to copyright or trademark subscribing. That's something that's been around as a common element of
anything.
anything for decades.
Right.
Like, it's not something that you can keep unique on. And even if you do, that's going to be your market sell, and your opponents are going to have their market sell.
Right.
Like, it's a lot. It's so much to talk about. Each one of these sections that we're talking about today can be their own episode, if we're going to be honest.
Well, bonus episodes, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of sections, we should move on to Ooblets.
Yeah.
So Ooblets has been going through some real, real up and downs. After having a large amount of excited fans seemed to turn on the developers after an announcement that Ooblets would be an Epic Store exclusive. However, it seems that perhaps once excited fans have gone too far. Reports from GameDune's outlets state that there have been more than a few people sending violent threats and hate messages to the developers.
You don't say. Overreaction in the gaming community?
I hate to be that guy, but
no!
Yeah, that's not news at all.
All right, but what is news is the fact that it's Ooblets.
Right.
So last week, I made a plug for Ooblets as like my final plug for the day, because I have been excited for this game for about a year and a half now. I have been so thrilled for Ooblets, and it was going to be my most anticipated game of all time. So last week I did make that plug. The day after, all this stuff went down.
Mm-hmm.
Which let me give the highlights.
The news stops for no one.
Yeah. When Ooblets was initially announced, they were being published by Double Fine Productions, which is a pretty good studio. They've hit some winners. They've had Psychonauts, and if you know Psychonauts, huge, very big. Ooblets acquired a massive following, got a ton of monetary support on their Patreon, and things were looking great for Ooblets. They kept announcing new Ooblets. They delved in on the combat system. The devlogs were fun. They were interesting. It was just overall a great thing to follow. It reminded me a lot of when I was following Stardew Valley when it was announced.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. later on, Ooblets announced they were going to be self-published, which was even better. That's so cool. Like, you've gotten so big on your following that you're able to publish yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, it stinks or double fine, but yeah, go all in. That's great. And then Ooblets announced they were going to become an Epic Game Store exclusive, which was even better for them. Like, I was super excited when I, like, heard that they were getting picked up. I was like, yo, they're getting all the money they need. They can do so many more cool things with the game. And then they released the devlog.
Mm-hmm.
And this devlog is going to come up several more times while I'm covering these highlights. So the devlog was different. I mentioned that early in the beginning, the devlogs were all fun. They had like this quirky kind of voice that was very identifiable to millennials mm-hmm. and to Gen Z, who all have this this ironic and post-ironic way of viewing the world. So it was really something that was like, yeah, these we actually can relate to this. These developers are us.
Right.
The last devlog had a section which was literally titled Mad at Epic Games, Mad at Us, Mad at the World, which was already weird.
Yeah.
It was not your standard thing. And here's some highlights from what that section included. Let me scroll up. So the devlog said, feeling like you're owed the product of other people's works on your terms or else you'll steal it is the epitome of that word entitlement that people use to discuss immature, toxic gamers.
Mm.
And that's weird yeah. because the thing they were talking about, the Epic Game Store, how people would rather torrent than ever support Epic Games. And that comes from a history of backlash that Epic Games has had about manipulating the market price of items against the developers' wills and things like that. It was very weird. So the fact they brought that up was kind of strange. And then Perlamps, the developer, one of the two developers, said, I get the appeal of wanting to seek out things to get angry about. Venting anger is cathartic and natural, but let's have just a little perspective about what we decide to get angry about. Now, this is where the devlog gets kind of strange, because I don't know people who want to be angry at things.
Right.
I understand that it can seem that way. When you're on a platform where everyone has a voice, it can seem that people want to be angry, but that's not the case. It's just people having, like, they're reacting to something that they don't like.
Right.
So to assume that people get angry at things as a way of finding catharsis is just really out of touch with people. Like it's really out of touch with being a human. And so that was very weird. And then they just had this really just rude last closer to this, which was, look at the things going on around you and ask yourself if there might be anything just a tad more worthwhile to be upset about. Here are just a few suggestions. Climate change. Human rights abuses, the new Twitter desktop UI, the last season of Game of Thrones. So this is just...
Yeah, so they tried to come off as kind of jokey, but it
instead,
didn't really work.
Instead, it came off as, oh, you have a legitimate complaint about our platform, then how about you don't? And instead be mad at these things.
Yeah.
Which is, it's just deflection. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not humor. And it's not literal deflection.
Yeah. And I mean, putting climate change and human rights along with Twitter, desktop UI, and Game of Thrones, that's like something some pundit would say millennials are supposed to be mad about.
Exactly. It's comparing you can't afford a home to buying avocado toast.
Right.
It's very much the equivalent of that.
It's the boomer joke.
Yeah, so overall, this devlog sucked. Like, if I'm, that's legitimately, as someone who's been following these devlogs and been so excited for so many different things about this game, to read this was just crushing. So, and yes, there was a backlash, but before we get into that backlash, let's get into the frontlash. And I'm calling it that because the aggression from the devs from this point was just continuous. So they released this angry sounding devlog, and then I've got two actual quotes here, which is, when talking with the patrons who have been financially supporting the game for months at this point, the devs said, "At the end of the day, it's open to whoever wants to support the Patreon. We don't need money from there now, though."
Jeez.
These people have been supporting you for so long, and to say something just so dismissive towards the people that have been giving financial support is just so cruel.
It's been very, up until a certain point anyway, it's been very tone deaf on their part.
Yeah, and then to further go on, something that we've seen a lot is when people started, like, saying to the devs, saying, "Hey, we're not mad at you being part of Epic Games. We're just upset because, hey, this was kind of mean to be saying." Oftentimes, the devs were referring to these people as angry, frothing, toxic baby gamers. And it's just like, it feels like I'm discussing a politician rather than discussing a game developer for a game about making tiny friends and having them dance at each other on your farm. Like, it just felt so out of left field. And because of this, and this is where the story changes and I get really upset, because I'm sad about this. I am sad about this whole thing because I was so excited about this game. We started to see things shift, and then the actual backlash that they expected to get was a self-fulfilling prophecy, because people became actually mad about the Epic Games Store thing because it became so publicized that this devlog was just so mean. So, needless to say, yes, the devs are acting mean and cruel. However, the preemptive aggression led to a retaliated aggression from an anonymous internet gamer, which, if you're familiar with that phrase, is over the top, which led to slurs, death threats, and inhumane behavior, which was unwarranted regardless of the initiating offense.
Correct.
There is no reason to use any of these things unless... There is no unless. You do not use slurs, you do not send death threats, and this inhumane behavior is just uncalled for. And this is when the story turned to make it sound like the devs were justified. And this is where I'm mad, because while no one should be angry enough about a video game to ever send death threats, the developers of the game, completely through the people that have been supporting them for over a year at this point, over 2 years at this point, under the bus because they got Epic Game Store money, which is heinous and cruel for a game that's about making friends and a simple life.
Yeah.
So while yes, it's so messed up that gamers did what shitty online gamers do, which is they overreacted. They started harassing and threatening these developers to the point that they were the developers' lives are being threatened. Like, they were being, anti-Semitic comments are being thrown at them. Misogynistic comments are being thrown at them. And just overall, things that were not needed to be said at all were sent to the developers, to the point that they got to get a platform to talk about how they've been abused and then say that, oh yeah, and we're not going to give you the satisfaction of an apology for our devlog, when really this is all that people have been upset about. And another thing that people have been upset about that I didn't get to mention so far is the Epic Games Store is not international.
Right.
If you are from various countries around the world, your currency is not accepted on the Epic Games Store. And several of these countries had people that were excited for Ooblets. And
who
now
maybe even contributed to the Patreon page.
There's one Malaysian mother who was a patron for years, and she put this huge comment in the Discord asking, "What do we do now? Because I've been sending money to support this game because we've been playing games like this to give us some form of catharsis in our lives, which is extremely hard." And we just want to know, is there any way for us to get the game? They weren't asking for a free game. They were just asking, is there any way for us to get the game? And they really got no response. There's a doctored image going around showing the developer responding to it, saying that there's no excuse, no matter how hard of a life you've had, there's no excuse to ask a developer for a free game, which is not what was said. That was taken out of context and applied to this situation to make it seem a lot worse than it was, which we did see. We saw shitty manipulative gamers being shitty manipulative gamers. And this is the thing that drives me crazy. We saw this when we were talking about the Alinity story last week. Yeah. We're seeing this now. What ends up happening is a legitimate abuse of a platform is used, is seen, reacted to, and then because it's reacted to on a public forum, it's overreacted to the point that it becomes a completely different situation that we get a straw man argument in, at which point the initiating problematic party is given excuse because of the overreaction from the second party. So in the end, what ends up happening in every single one of these stories is there's a singular moral that's given at the end rather than a series of morals that should have been delivered by actually handling these situations responsibly.
Right.
For Alinity, there's no excuse for her to be able to poison her cat with alcohol. But on the other hand, there's also no excuse for her to receive terrible misogynistic treatment from just shitty people on the internet.
Right.
There should have been punishment on both sides. Mm-hmm. Same thing here. There really should have been something that we saw, or at least an apology from the devs. But instead it just turned into, here's why these gamers were toxic and shitty when they were. But it also lumped the people who just reacted to the information and the people who overreacted to the information into the same party.
Correct.
And it's not an argument that you can just say is as simple as it ends with gamers being toxic.
Right.
Because it isn't. And that's the thing that I really just want to get across. And I just hope that one day the developers can hear this, because I've been pushing Ooblets for a long time, telling people to be excited about this game. I've been saying it's the next Stardew Valley. It's like new. It's better Animal Crossing. It's a farming game with Pokemon. It's all these great things. And then to just feel like I've been wrong about the characters in this story to the point that they just don't care about the people that have been supporting them is just, it hurts.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
But yeah, I just, if you want to get Ooblets, that's on you, but I personally don't have the heart to do it anymore, and I'm just going to be excited for the new Animal Crossing game, because to experience this when I was so excited and to be lumped in this category with people who are being shitty is just, it feels bad. Yeah. Because all we wanted was an explanation for, hey, you went a bit over the line here. Can you just, like, not do that and maybe apologize? Which turned into this thing where they had to post an entire article on Medium saying, hey, we were abused and we're victims in this situation. When so are the people that supported you up to this point. So, yeah, that's my general thoughts on it. And I know I took up basically the entirety of this section, but I wanted to because...
It's okay to rant.
Yeah, I just... I was so interested in supporting this game and last week, and then to be given this just goes to show that you should really only support Garfield Kart.
Yes, support Garfield Kart. Oh, my goodness.
But
please support Garfield Kart. No, I get it. I very much agree. I was excited for Ooblets for all of like 20 hours. And then this happened and I was like, oh, maybe not anymore. I will say, of course, as you've already said, there's really no excuse for people to act the way they are toward the developers. I do hope that it has stopped and will cease forever, but we'll see. Maybe there's more news around the corner.
Yeah, I hope that we eventually see something, but I don't have my hopes up. But with that, I'm pretty sure that's the end of the stuff we wanted to cover.
Yes, so let us move along toward the end of the show. Corgian, we ask that you give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
I'm going to give... you should be playing Unist, and you should be looking out for Uniclear. If you're interested in how to say Uniclear, if you don't want to say it that way, just call it Undernight. It's super easy.
Undernight...
don't worry
CLR
about it.
CLR cleaner. Just,
it's Undernight. That's... all you gotta say.
That's all you got to say. Hey, gang. I'm gonna plug. What am I gonna plug? I think I'm gonna plug Shadowbringers one last time. Final Fantasy XIV Shadowbringers. It is really good. It's literally the only thing I've been playing for weeks now. It's a good, good MMO. You should try it if you buy it. To finish off this episode, Corrigan, please tell us where we can find you on the internet and if you have anything else to plug.
So I'm definitely going to be found on Twitter on at Doghouse Corrigan. But more importantly, follow Doghouse Esports. We're always doing new things, and we have remember that hint that I made last week about Doghouse Esports events? Well, we've got a lot of events coming up
boy.
Now. What went from being one event has now turned into many. And so, yeah, follow Doghouse Esports. You're going to be seeing us doing a lot of stuff for Smash and hopefully a lot of stuff for Undernight soon. And that's going to be great. So follow us on Twitter at Doghouse Esports, on Twitch at Doghouse Esports, on Instagram at Doghouse Esports, not on Facebook, but at Doghouse Esports. If it's a social media platform, we're there as Doghouse Esports. Mm-hmm. And that's my plug for things. And also follow the weekly cooldown.
Hey, thanks.
I'm definitely plugging you guys. You guys are great. And I'm starting to listen to your episodes in my commute. So yeah, I listened to one like before the first one, but now I'm trying to listen to more.
Yes. This is my dream come true. I'm someone's commute listen. Feels great. Feels absolutely great. Well, thank you for those plugs. And thank you for plugging us. As always, you can find me at CommyJace Gaming on Twitter. And you can find us both on the WK Cooldown Twitter at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WKCooldown.com and check out all that for more news from Moose and I. Of course, be sure to check out the links in the description I have not decided on a Humble Bundle for this week, so it's as much of a surprise for you as it is for me. And of course, support your favorite charities and support your pals here at the Weekly Cooldown, Moose and Kami Jace. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
And I'm the ever-talkative Corgian.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.